Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. But did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, like unto the abominations of the heathen, whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. For he built again the high places which Hezekiah his father had broken down, and he reared up altars for Balaam, and made groves, and worshipped all the host of heaven, and served them. Also he built altars in the house of the Lord, whereof the Lord had said, In Jerusalem shall my name be for ever. And he built altars for all the host of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. And he caused his children to pass through the fire in the valley of the son of Hinnom. Also he observed times, and used enchantments, and used witchcraft, and dealt with a familiar spirit, and with wizards. He wrought much evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. And he set a carved image, the idol which he had made, in the house of God, of which God had said to David and to Solomon his son, In this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen before all the tribes of Israel, will I put my name for ever. Neither will I any more remove the foot of Israel from out of the land which I have appointed for your fathers, so that they will take heed to do all that I have commanded them, according to the whole law, and the statutes, and the ordinances, by the hand of Moses. So Manasseh made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to err, and to do worse than the heathen, whom the Lord had destroyed before the children of Israel. And the Lord spake to Manasseh and to his people, but they would not hearken. Wherefore the Lord brought upon them the captains of the host of the king of Assyria, which took Manasseh out of the thorns, and bound him with fetters, and carried him to Babylon. And when he was in affliction, he besought the Lord his God, and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers, and prayed unto him, and he was entreated of him, and heard his supplication into his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord, he was God. What a great story in the life of the most wicked king of the Old Testament. He did worse than the heathen. He is guilty of bloodshed. He destroyed the testimony of Israel, and he worshipped false gods. I want to tell you that God is merciful, because Manasseh, when he was brought in affliction, he besought the Lord, and God heard his cry, and the Lord saved his soul. It is a great tribute to the God whom we worship and serve, that he has mercy on the very worst of sinners. And that's what we find here in this Bible passage, in the conversion of King Manasseh, the most wicked and the most bloodly man on the throne of Judah. And so I want to set this example before you, and today we're going to be looking at this from the pulpit of our church here in the Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. I am Ian Gollaher. Have a great joy in bringing you the message of the gospel day by day, and I hope that you will listen very closely to this message today, because you too need to be saved, and you need to have your sins forgiven. And perhaps you're wondering, can I also be washed and cleansed from my sins? Well, that's the good news of the gospel. There is grace and there is salvation for all who come, believing, trusting in the Lord Jesus. So if you have your Bible handy, you can turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 33, and I pray that your heart will be drawn to seek the Savior today.
And when anyone says to me, I don't want to be a separatist, I don't want to be opposed to the world, I don't want to be narrow-minded, I don't want to be hemmed in the walk of life, they lose out in fellowship with God. The Lord has called you to a narrow way. It's the way that is the way of blessing, the way of Holy Spirit power. And when you allow the walls to decline and the world comes in and you allow other ideas to fill your life, you lose power. You lose that communion with God. There's something else that he did, and that is he built this altar in Jerusalem, in the city. But there is an altar that I want to talk to you about today. I wonder, are you building it? And that is the family altar. Every Christian home should be a little church. It should be a place of worship, where there is, as a family, a time, an opportunity for the open Bible and something of speaking God's word and leading in worship and prayer in the home. That is called in Christian circles the family altar. Now, it's not a literal pile of stones as Abram built altars. It's not anything like the Old Testament sacrificing animals, anything like that. But we talk about the family altar. We talk about it as the family time of worship. And it can be around the kitchen table. It can be around that furniture in your family room. It can be in a bedroom. It can be anywhere in the home where you just come together for a few minutes at least and you call on the Lord. And you call upon the Lord to rule and guide and keep and bless. It's a teaching time. For some, it might be a preaching time, but it's a time of gathering together for worship. I'm sure Manasseh had none of that for all of his life prior, but now he was interested in the altar of God. And it's important, and it is a great blessing. In verse 14, at the end, you will see that he fortified the cities. This place, Ophel, that he raised up to a very great height and put captains of war in all the fences of Judah, he fortified the cities. Ophel means fortress. So he built a place that was a lookout post, and so it needed to be elevated to observe and protect the city against oncoming enemies. And so this was an attempt to withstand the enemy. Now, Christians take measures to resist evil. What measures are you taking to resist evil in your life? Manasseh took away the strange gods. This was not neutrality. And I fear that each of us are tempted in these days as Canadians with the mentality in this nation that we ought to be neutral to just about everything. And that if you're a tolerant, gracious, kind, wise, tender-hearted, thinking Christian, then you will take a neutral line on just about everything. Works for you, you do it. That's not what Manasseh did. He built a fortress. He prepared to withstand the enemy. And the Christian is to fortify himself, herself, to be equipped to resist the enemy. That's what Bible study does. That's what memorization does. That's what prayer does. You are equipping yourself. And you might say, well, I don't need that. I just want to be, on the clean side of the road. I want to walk in morality, but I'm not going to take a stand. I'm not going to build fortresses and get too radical. Well, let me tell you, the enemy is radical. The enemy will fight to bring you down and to bring your children down. I read in Psalm 97:10, ye that love the Lord hate evil. Ye that love the Lord hate evil. That's not neutrality. He preserveth the souls of his saints. He delivereth them out of the hand of the wicked. How does he do that? He puts within us a holy hatred for evil and for sin. Proverbs 8:13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way in the froward mouth do I hate. And so these are the things that we resist, that we might be strong and stand for the Lord. Providentially, I believe, this morning I read sermon audio news story of a heartbroken mother whose two children have transgendered, a son and a daughter. And she wrote of her heartache and heartbreak. You imagine a mother, you give your children a name, and then they grow up to hate that name. They don't want to be called by that name. In fact, they are offended if you call them by the name that you give them at birth. They want to mutilate their bodies. And a mother, father just witnesses their own child ruin their own body. And these are medical procedures, and many of them are irreversible. It's not only weird, it's not only unnatural, it is absolutely destructive. And it destroys the family relationship totally. And she calls it the trans cult. And in our society, there is pressure upon teenagers to pursue and consider transgendering. And it's destructive. It is an agenda to destroy the youth of our country. Now, that's something we've got to hate. Now, be careful. Someone's going to accuse you of hatred. We don't hate the person who is going into this. We care for them. We want to see them delivered from this self-mutilating, destructive path. And this woman, I may not be true in all cases, but both her children are ending up now really dysfunctional. It's not just that they can't get a job, but they don't even want to hold down a job. So it's a life ruined. It's a family in great distress. And we as Christians need to waken up to the great evil that is abroad to destroy not only godliness, but normality. We are in a very fierce spiritual battle, and we're losing. The church has been sidelined as irrelevant. What would Manasseh do? Look at verse 16. And he repaired the altar of the Lord and sacrificed thereon peace offerings and thank offerings, and commanded Judah to serve the Lord God of Israel. This is leadership of a reformer. This is a man who has not only just changed in his heart, he's changed in his whole life. This is his rule as a king. He commanded Judah to serve the Lord God of Israel. And parents, never take the line, well, boys and girls, we're just going to let you grow up, make all your own decisions, and whatever you feel is right, we'll support you. That is not the Christian's way to teach their children. We need to teach them right from wrong. We need to bring them to the Word of God. We need to tell them what is so evil about the practices that are going on in the world. And I tremble for kids in school and education system that are under awful pressure. I would hate to be sitting down with a parent in that situation where my daughter or son has just told me that they're going to choose that path. That would be grievous, heinous, distress, trouble. And so let us pray and labor and support one another that we may fight this battle as we live in this evil day. This man sought to change the course of past leadership and call God's people to good and godly service unto God. And I would be Manasseh today. I could be Manasseh today. With whatever little sphere of influence I have to call God's people to do the right, to turn from the world, build those walls, build that fortress. Let us equip ourselves to withstand the evil, the enemy, the attack of the world. Let us fortify our children and teach them and train them and live for Christ before them and love them all the way to the cross and plead with God that they would be saved. I think I have been too soft. I think I have been too gentle. I think I have allowed people to go in ways and say, well, we'll see how it turns out. We need to be a Manasseh, to command the Lord's people to serve the Lord. Where are you? What are you doing? What are you doing with your life? What's the fruit of what you're doing? What's the end going to be? This becomes the burden of a Manasseh. Time is short. The days are evil. Have we not given enough to the world, the flesh and the devil? Be honest now. Have we not given more than enough? Is it not time to say no more? Whatever life is left in me, whatever days I have in this world, I'm going to live out and out for God. By His grace, a new life, more determined to serve God. And I call you, therefore, to a reformation of life in your home, in your church, in your withstanding the world, a separatist for God in this world, and all that that will entail. And the wonder is that the Lord Jesus recovers broken lives. That's the wonderful message here. And God displays His power to save the worst of sinners. Because God is good. God is gracious, long-suffering, delights to pardon. And God specializes in bringing good out of evil. And that is what the gospel story is. That's why we've got all these prodigals in the Bible. And when that prodigal in Luke 15 returned home after feeding the swine, having served the world, and said, I will go to my father's house. Think of the welcome that he received. Think of the rejoicing that it brought. It says here that then Manasseh knew that he was God. He experienced it in his own soul. It's not enough to say in your head that the Lord is God. You must trust Him with your heart. and know his mighty power to change. Let me ask you, and maybe there's some young person here, and this is really, really important to you. Are you willing to change? Or are you just trending in that neutral zone, willing to float along with almost anything? It'll destroy your soul. Repentance is absolutely necessary. The last time I preached this about Manasseh, I concluded with this story, and I want to share it with you again. And the message is that there's no repentance, no pardon without repentance. Some years ago, a murderer was sentenced to death. And the murderer's brother, to whom the state was deeply indebted for some former service, besought the governor of the state for his brother's pardon. The pardon was granted, and so the man visited his brother in the jail cell with the letter of pardon in his pocket. And he said to his brother, "If you were pardoned and freed, what would be the first thing you would do?" And he said, "I would find the judge that put me in here and murder him. And then I would find the person who gave the evidence and murder them too." What did his brother do? He kept the pardon in his pocket and left the prison and left his brother in jail. There's no pardon without repentance. And that's what we see in the life of Manasseh. He came to himself. When he was in affliction, he cried out to God, and the Lord pardoned him. This is the gospel. Repent and believe, and you will be saved. That's the message we have for this world. May the Lord give us the power and the grace to preach it and to take it to the ends of the earth.
I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus, since I found in him a friend so strong and true. I would tell you how he changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend could do. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me. All my life was full of sin when Jesus found me. All my heart was full of misery and woe. Jesus placed his strong and loving arms about me, and he led me in the way I ought to go. Every day he comes to me with new assurance. More and more I understand his words of love. But I'll never know just why he came to save me, till someday I see his blessed face above. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and the darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher, and here's the question I had. Have I been too gentle as a preacher? Have I allowed people to live too loosely, too carelessly? Have I not called men and women strongly enough to obey the gospel and to turn their lives around, repenting from the world and cleaving to the Lord Jesus? Well, I suppose it comes down to where you are going and what you are doing with your life. And I think it is true that we have given too much to the world, the flesh and the devil. The devil had 18 years of my life. The world consumed me for all of those years. I sowed to the flesh, and I praise God that in that hour the Lord lifted me out of the pit of sin. And so shall I now serve the Lord, serve the world, and go back to the flesh? No, not at all. The time is short. Whatever time God leaves and gives with us, then we've got to use every hour and every day as we seek the Lord. And so I plead with you to think about your life and about your need to totally dedicate your life to the Lord and rejoice in Him, but also to serve Him so that you can have a fruitful life to serve the Lord God for the rest of your days. I leave this with you, but you must call and you must turn to seek the Lord. Thank you for listening to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. You'll also find our podcast button on the top of the homepage of our website. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast and Monday to Friday 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services, Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We are located two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on this station Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. as we let the Bible speak.